Daniel chapter 5 on Through the Word, and one very important last day. Imagine if you knew the exact number of days you had to live. Would it change the way that you live this day? What if I told you your number was up? Would you be content with the place that God finds you? Daniel 5 has just such a story, the final day for a king and a kingdom. Daniel, after all, is a story of kingdoms, with stunningly accurate and precise prophecies of the kingdoms of this world. All of them, kingdoms that rise up and pass away. But above all, Daniel is about God's kingdom, the one that will never be destroyed. And against that backdrop, we have the life of one man who lived for God's kingdom while serving under man's rule. In the world, but not of it, Daniel was a man of godly character who lived for the eternal in a world of temporary. Thus far, chapters 1 through 4 have only seen one kingdom. The year is now 539 BC. For all of Daniel's prophecies, almost 67 years have passed since he arrived, and Babylon is still standing strong. Her wall is massive, the city impenetrable. Supplies are stockpiled to last for decades. Then comes chapter 5, the last day. And not just for Babylon, but for her mighty king as well. Several decades have passed since Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 4, and his son Nabonidus is on the throne. Nabonidus went out of town a lot, and he put his son-in-law in charge as co-regent, ruling over the city of Babylon. His name is Belshazzar. His story begins in verse 1. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. So Belshazzar is sitting pretty in his palace, and he decides to throw a party. And the party is slamming. The wine is flowing freely, and in verse 2, Belshazzar gets an idea. Let's get the gold and silver goblets that my granddad stole from the temple of that Hebrew god. His servant brings them in, and his guests start drinking, and as they do, they praise the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. It is a purposeful mocking of the God of Israel. If there's one thing I know, don't mock the living God. It looks like the five-letter beast has returned. Pride. Belshazzar should have learned granddad's lesson. And while he's busy praising the gods of gold and silver, it happens. Verse 5. Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. The king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his legs became weak, and his knees were knocking. Belshazzar is scared out of his wits. He knows the writing on the wall is serious, but he can't understand what it means. Just like his granddad, he calls for the enchanters and astrologers and diviners and offers whoever can read it a royal robe, gold chain, and a new job as the third highest ruler in the kingdom, right after himself. But in verse 8, none of them can read the writing or tell the king what it meant. There's a running theme here. It seems that God is purposefully foiling the wisdom of the wise men. The king only gets more afraid. Then in verse 10, the queen hears the fear in their voices and comes running in. This is probably Belshazzar's mom, who is Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Surely she knew her dad's story, and she remembers Daniel. She calls for him in verse 12. Daniel walks in, and Belshazzar immediately offers money and power, if he can just read that writing on the wall. I love verse 17. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your rewards to someone else." You gotta love Daniel's integrity. King, the gifts of God are not for sale, and the rewards of this world will not last. Daniel's rewards are from a higher king and an eternal kingdom. Back in verse 17, "Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means." Daniel begins by reminding him of his grandfather's story from chapter 4. Belshazzar knew the story. He knew his granddad went crazy for years until he acknowledged the Most High God is sovereign. Verse 22, "But you, Belshazzar, his successor, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven." You knew. But you set yourself against God. That's what pride does. King, you honored the gods of silver and gold. And look at 23. "But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways." And in verse 25, Daniel reads the writing. This is the inscription that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which means many, many tacos, you fatso. Not really. Mene means numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Think about that. God has set a number on the days of your life. For Belshazzar, the number is up. Mene again. This one should drive it home. Imagine a day calendar on a wall in heaven with your name on it. And every day, a paper comes down, and the number drops by one. And one day, that's it. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. When your number is up in heaven, you will step onto the scale, not for your body, for your life, for your soul. What does your life weigh in eternity? What did you do with the gifts he trusted you with? Will you be found faithful? Belshazzar was found wanting. Perez or Parson means divided. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Belshazzar ruled over the greatest empire in the world, seemingly invincible, but with one word from God, it would be all gone in a day. The Medes and Persians had teamed up, and they were right outside the city wall. Within a day, they would divide up all that Belshazzar ruled. When your number is up, and all goes on the scale, all that you ruled over, all that you toiled for and treasured will be divided. The eternal stuff, your treasures stored in heaven, is already there. But all the earthly stuff, your wealth, power, fame, all the stuff about you, it all stays here. Whoever dies with the most toys is an idiot. So Daniel read the wall, and the king gave him the robe, the gold, and made him number three in charge. But it didn't last long. History records this day, October 12, 539 BC, as Belshazzar partied, Cyrus of Persia was just outside the walls of Babylon, and he had a plan to get past that 350-foot wall. The Euphrates River went under the wall, so Cyrus diverted the river about a mile upstream. The riverbed emptied, and the Persian troops went under the wall and caught the whole city off guard. Interesting, it was prophesied with some detail 200 years earlier, in Isaiah 44 and 45, even named King Cyrus. For you Bible students, the fall of Babylon here is an important foreshadowing of Revelation 17. And in verse 30, that very night Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom. Read Daniel 5 and consider, if your number was up, if you stepped on the scale today, how would you weigh in? Lord, teach us to number our days aright. And consider Daniel. When you turn the page to chapter 6, Babylon is gone, and all their worthless rewards with them. But Daniel is still standing. He served God as king, and he outlasted kingdoms.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.